Thank you. Good morning. Almost afternoon. Yeah, we've been here from Friday, coming and going, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Nice to see people who are really going on with God. And as I was sitting there, Karen was talking, I really saw God showed me you are not the fruits, but you are the trees. You know, if you really understand that you need to produce the fruits. You are the tree, so that through you, from you, God is expecting something in this place to happen. And then if you think you are just one fruit, and you know, then it can be eaten or the bird can just steal it or whatever. But if you think you're a tree, that you can be producing, continuously producing, so that's what God has called us. I know that God wants us to produce fruits in a way that the others can benefit, because Christians, Christ is like that, and He gave His life for us so that we benefited from His life and we have eternal life because He has given us His life. But the same way, He wants us to be the tree so that you can produce. So I want you to get that in your head, so that every time you pray and, you know, have an encounter with God and say, God, I am the tree. I really want you to help me to produce whatever you want me to produce for your kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes, some life here. Okay. Just close eyes for a minute. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, power of the Holy Spirit. You are here already. We thank you, Lord, as we were worshiping, as we were praising you, that you are here and the heaven is open above us. So we give ourselves to hear what you need to say to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give a clap to Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Because He is alive. And we just, in Jaffna, in Sri Lanka, north of Sri Lanka, some of you have come there. We make a lot of noises because we have our free building. It's not like Switzerland. If you make noises in Switzerland, and then they'll call the police. Oh, they are making too much noise. And many times we had to face the police because people live upstairs and they call the police. It's a Sunday. We want to rest. We want to sleep. And these people are making noise. But in Jaffna, in Sri Lanka, you can make much as possible. Nobody's going to ask you or say anything. When I say hallelujah, they all scream, amen. That, you know, so they scream at each other, the whole village, and even the villages around, they can hear. You know that even we put 5 o'clock a trumpet sound because we have prayer meeting, and people from London and Germany and Switzerland, all over the place, Karen invites these teams come, and some of them come and join, some of them complain, oh, we want to sleep. And you put this 5 o'clock trumpet sound. But the thing is, the village, we wake up the village and say, pray. Pray. And because if you see the Muslim countries, they put any time, either Hindus, they put any time. We have these speakers, you know, going through your eardrums at 4 o'clock, screaming some rubbish and you don't want to hear. But you know, the trumpet sound when we put, people have started to ask, what is that sound? Why are you all putting this sound? This is just calling people to worship. So that way, that even those people who are living near our church building, and they're going to other churches, but they say they wake up at that time and they sit up and pray. So this is like a calling for those people, you know, kingdom people, to come together. So we make a lot of noises. So when I go on the stage, I make a lot of noises. Just imagine about 500, 600 people screaming. You know, just really get to somewhere. The same way when you scream and praise God, it get to somewhere. Because spiritually something happened. It breaks all the strongholds and pull down all the strongholds. And you bring such a freedom of God in this area, and there's a new atmosphere. You know, as we come into this building, I think maybe it's a good building, but the atmosphere here. So wherever you go, you carry that atmosphere of God, the power of God, the anointing of God. We just, when we walk in here, we feel such a freedom and the power of God and anointing of God and this happiness and joy. We all have problem. We all just get sorted out one day, or maybe we don't, whatever. But the thing is, the joy of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. The peace of God is here. He wants to lift us up every single minute, every single day, every single month. He wants to lift us up every year, end of the year. He gives us promise and bring us through the next year. And you know, He bring us in a way that, you know, for us to be built stronger than the last year. So it's important for us to understand, even this year we gave the promise, Isaiah 40:10, you know, do not fear, I am with you, and also the promise. But the thing is, like, we need to walk towards the promise. It's good to claim it, but need to live in it and to claim and to, you know, just to meditate and speak to each other the promises that God has given. Because we live in a hopeless world. The world has no hope. It is just destruction and famine and war, and we are hearing so many things happening because we can all, because in Sri Lanka, I tell our children, the children who are studying the school and our children, home children, I tell them, don't read the newspaper. And the school tell them, you have to read the newspaper to understand what's happening. One of the teachers, they asked me, when we went to the school to talk about, you know, some of the children having problem, and the teacher said, oh, I have a question I need to ask you. Why did you tell them not to read the newspaper? They need to know what's happening in the world. I said, yeah, they need to know what's happening in the world, but they don't need to know all this rubbish that they are putting. Just show me one good thing in the newspaper. If they read the Bible, they get 100% good news. But this is not good. And he said, because, you know, somebody raping somebody, somebody's killing somebody, somebody's stealing. They don't need to hear all these things. I don't want them to live in fear. Because that's all you put in the newspaper. You look for bad news. But this is something good that we have given them. They can live their lives out. So they have no question. I asked them, show me one good news in here. One good news. Well, there is no good news, so there's no talk. There's no need to explain, because that our children, they were saying, our principal is giving hard time. You have to read, it's good, but their mind is so innocent. I don't want it to be deceived, or, you know, they're so naive, they don't understand how the world is functioning. But the world has no hope to give us. And obviously we know that. Jesus is the only hope. People who live in this world with no hope. And we have found the hope, and Jesus has given us the hope so that we can live, you know, like with His word and with His spirit. It's not, He hasn't left us as orphan. He has given His Holy Spirit to lead us every single day, every single minute, if we like. It's us sometimes don't go to Him. And when we get into trouble, when we have problem, we want to work it out in our head, and we want to tell a couple of neighbors, and we want to call our relatives on the phone and tell them what's happening and everything. That we are the one need to make the choice to get to Him. And we are the one need to really make that, you know, the decision and go to God, so the Holy Spirit can lead us and help us and remind us through the Word of God. The Word of God is there. But only if we use, it's powerful. If we don't use it, it's just a book. So that word has the power and life in it. So the Holy Spirit will remind what you have read in the Bible. If you don't, like, see, if you read the newspaper, the evil spirit will remind everything that you read and give you fear and confusion. I'm not talking about a newspaper here. This is sometimes they give very useful information, and I'm not. But there you can see that newspaper. Everything is bad. I never look at it. I don't like it, because it doesn't have anything good in it. So that good news is today that we are the hope for this world. And He has given us that hope so that we can show them the way. Because He has been the way for us in life, and He has really brought us out of slavery, of sin. So that's why it's important for us, like, when we see, like, I just, this, promise that, you know, the scripture from Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure without looking at it, most of you know, because when people are in trouble, we give the scripture. But actually that was given to the Israel nation. You know, they were the chosen people, God's people, when they were sinning, when they were in idol worship. So they were taken in exile to Babylon for 70 years. At this time, distress, no hope, new culture, new people, new food, all sorts of things there, idol worship there, and in the same place that they have gone, and it is really a struggle, like they have lost their hope. God has given up on us. You know, there's no God here. We just have to fight our own battle. They are really losing their hope every single day, looking back, looking back, looking back. They're not able to go forward in their life. But God is giving some strange advice through Jeremiah. He that be a blessing to those nations that you're in. When they have peace, you will have peace. See, this, I quote this all the time for Sri Lankan people because they are scattered like Jewish people all over the place. Pray for the nation where you are. If you're in Switzerland, pray for them. If you're in Britain, pray for the nation. That is the only way God is going to bless you because you are eating their food. You are taking their money. So bless them back. Pray for them. Pray for Israel. That is the command for us. God has given us. It doesn't matter who we are. Pray for that. When you pray for Israel, you will be blessed. So many ways that you can be blessed, knowing, you know, not being selfish, me, my home and my church, just to pray for those nations that you are in. And here we see that Israel, they are in exile, they're like slaves here because they're chosen people who had freedom, who had all the blessing they could and who were talking to God and listening from God and everything. Now, because for some time they were not listening, they were into idol worship, and it came to a point that God had to punish them, in a way discipline them, taken them in exile. So for them, they have no hope there. But that is where God is speaking this promise and say, for I know the plans that I have for you. But here he needed to, like if you read from chapter 29, Jeremiah verse 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you. There's a hope. I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. So in verse 11 it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We see that hope of future because many people are committing suicide in Sri Lanka and many people just going backwards and ending up mentally sick. Recently we were dealing with a family, the whole family. There's in fear, there's no hope, and they're like possessed because, you know, there's no hope in their lives and there's fear just, you know, in them and their home and there's no peace. So this is the time that we just bring Jesus to them, the light, that freedom, so that they can be out of that prison, because they, you know, like many people are in exile. You know, we were in exile once. We didn't know Jesus. When we came to know him, then he took us out because he has given us his life. He has given us his hope. He has given us, because without hope we were living. But we have a hope now. We know that Jesus is coming back and we are going to be united with him. We are going to heaven. If you don't believe in that, you shouldn't be sitting here. I believe in that. That's why I'm standing here. I should have been dead long time ago. God gave me life to preach, to proclaim, and to tell the good news to people. He's alive. So that's what I am alive. The doctor said, you're dying. You're going to be gone very soon. But God said, no, I'm going to keep you here as a testimony. So I decided not to get married. And I'm going to serve God. And that's what I was doing. Many people were working with me, ministering with me. And we were going all over the place. Then God showed me Karen. And Karen came along. And she started to help me with worship. And we started to work together, minister together. And both of us are now, sometimes we are not in the same place at the same time. We are ministering in different places, doing the same thing. But the thing is, like, she's a person into people's houses and toilets and, you know, like, their needs. But I am into people, what they need spiritually. So we work together in that way. But most of the time, Karen is also helping with the people and also, like, building the churches and people and things like that. But the thing is, like, we went into the nation where there's no hope, there's war, and there's curfews. There's, you know, like, they have lost their relatives and they lost everything they had. And when we went there, the land was desolate, that, you know, there was no hope. You, other than, you know, you yourself, there is nothing to promise them because the country is in war, people have lost everything, lost their, loved ones. And its only thing is just to bring Jesus, to bring healing. Inner healing, just to help them to understand Jesus is the only way. So people started to really see peace in their lives. They even said that, you know, all this time we've lived with no hope. Now we have hope. At least we get to heaven. At least we're not going to be, you know, finished in this world and not having any hope in our life. But they, God gave them the hope. Here we see in Israel people that they were the chosen people, but we see that they were in slavery. And it is a time that God was speaking to them through Jeremiah. And they're saying, you know, to have hope, because I'm going to bring you out of that. That's what it says. Verse 10, I will bring you out of that. Because for them to understand, they are under discipline. Because the Israel nation, it's been like, I don't know about you, I always say it's like our Tamil people, Sri Lankan people. God bless them and they take every blessing and then they turn away and then go back to their old lives and then they get into trouble, then they come back to Jesus. This is the same way Israel nation. God will bless them and then they will take all the blessing and they'll be good for 3 months and then they start to go back. And you know, like when Moses was not there, they were blaming Moses, they were blaming God, and you know, this is no good, let's go back to the slavery. Even in the wilderness, let's go back, because that even though it is very difficult, they really rather live with the routine that they are used to. They don't want to break through into a new ground. They don't want to go into the breakthrough of what God wants to do in their life. They don't want to go into the promised land. We don't care about anything. We just want to go back so we can eat something, their meat or whatever. But see, sometimes the devil will try to tell us to settle down for less. You see, sometimes, you know, God has a greater purpose for you, greater destiny for you, greater, you know, like goal for you. But devil will say, like Adam and Eve, how the Satan came through serpent and said, are you sure that God told you like that, not to eat that? I don't think so. You know, giving advice and misinterpreting, you know, that whatever God said, the devil take hold of it and interpret something else. So then they started thinking, oh yeah, maybe you are right. So the moment they take their eyes away from God and agree with something else, you know, then you're lost. That is where we see our nations all the time getting lost, taking their eyes away from God when they need to walk with God and just keep their eyes fixed on God. If we see that all the time the enemy has been coming from the beginning, even now, and even as I preach, I've seen the enemy will be talking to some people, talking in their ears, something else, misinterpreting. You know, like sometimes we get people after preaching, they come and say, oh, you know, you said something that I was very offended with. Oh, do you, I know, I was not talking to you, but if you're offended, so you repent. Because this is where God is speaking, because I was not talking to one person. And if I'm talking to one person, I will call you according to the word of God and say, I have a problem with you and sort it out with you. I'm not going to stand in public and say just for one person. It is for the whole church where I preach. It is for the whole church, not for one person. But if it is for you, you take it. If it's not for you, keep your mouth shut. Because we don't have time to discuss and to talk about it, because there's so much to do. Here we see that if you really continue to read that, even from Jeremy, I just want to read the scripture. Like, it see, afterwards it says, after those 70 years, what is going to happen? God said that I will bring him, because I have a plan for you. It's not to harm you. I have a plan for you. This is the plan to give you hope and a future. And see, after that, verse 12, we see, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So before that exile, before that slavery, whatever you were praying, whatever you were asking, I couldn't hear. I was deaf to whatever you were saying because you were not living right. You are not living for me. You are serving two masters. You only come to me when you need something. Otherwise, you do your own thing. So I didn't hear what you were saying. I cannot answer those type of prayers. It is very important. Like for us, our culture is sometimes so demonic. Some of the culture is really good. Because you know, like before marriage, you don't live together. That's a good culture. Keep the good culture. But the other stuff, you know, like you, the woman, you had to look down, never lift your head. I used to walk like that. I used to live like that. I go to school and you can't lift your eyes to the master or the teacher. Because then you are disrespecting them. You are not respecting them. So you have to look down. Women have to look down. See, that is the way that enemy has interpreted to our culture. You know, keep the woman under, into slavery. Keep them under. Ye, belangda. Eremia 29:12. Avai ke konya sollunga Tamil le. I just want. Enna idhula vandu Devan solraru enakku nambikiye tharven. Eremia 29:11. Avai ungalku nalla vasanam adu. Okay, so we say that to have, because I feel so bad because they understand Tamil. I can speak Tamil, but I'm speaking in English, okay. But the daughter will interpret. So here you see, verse 14 it says, you know, I will be found by you because you are in the right place. You know, this is, when I preach for me also. When I pray, sometimes I feel, oh God, you're not really hearing me. I've been praying for 3 days. Then I have to start to test myself. You know, sometimes the ministry can take you away from God. The ministry and people problem. And you know that so much you're doing. And then you know that you've been, you know, looking after somebody and, you know, like something has good happen. And then you have to just keep on doing until that person get to the right place. Or some burnt in the body and you are dressing. And you want to just, you know, keep on dressing until that person get healed and new skin comes. So like for us, so much in our mind. Sometimes like at home, like when I was last week, and I think about 11 o'clock after I finished praying for people and doing so many things and so many advices and visiting and all that, then I came home, I said, okay, 11 o'clock, I'm going to have shower and go to bed because I have to get up at 3 o'clock. Normally 4 o'clock prayer meeting, always I think in case if the alarm don't work, so I get up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, like that. So I get sleep for a couple of hours and then I'm there, you know, on the go. So I came home and I was coming and then I got this family living in my house, next to my house, there's in the same ground. And he was sitting there and he was having a breathing difficulty because he goes for dialysis and we've been praying for him. One of the kidneys just functioning, the other one is not functioning, and he looks really not good. So I thought, oh, I can't go to sleep now. So I came home, I went to him to see he was really struggling to breathe. So I prayed with him, and I said, you know, if you need help or something, just give me a ring, and then, you know, I can come over, pray for you, or pray over the phone or whatever. So that it's ongoing, you know, it's not non-stop. And then you come home, hey, shower, what you want to do? Immediately you want to sleep. You want to rest. But that's the time. But when I have shower and I come, something God give me strength and say, no, you keep up and just pray for this, pray for that, pray for that. Do this, do that, do that. And he gives the strength to keep on going. I know, but then again, you see that someday God has to remind me to come to him. Because we're doing so many things for God and sometimes we are satisfied with our ministry, but the ministry will never take us to heaven. It's only the relationship with Jesus that will take us to heaven. Because it says in the Bible, you will come and say, I cast so many demons, I healed so many people, I gave food to the poor, so what? Where are you? You are hopeless. You are helpless. You need to be in the place with your Creator. Speaking to him. That relationship. That we need the relationship talking. I'm talking in tongues in between so that they can understand. So that this promise is so that I know many people, when they have problem, they claim this promise and say that, you know, sometimes people, young people have come. It's a good promise, but a dangerous promise. Because some people, a couple of young people I was advising, and that he was in our church and he is connected to a girl that is not saved. So I said, well, she needs to get to know Jesus. Otherwise you shouldn't be unequally yoked and your parents are not happy about it and everything. But he said, look at this. I was praying and God told me, this is whatever I like, he's going to give me. 29:11, Jeremiah, I said that's a very dangerous promise for you to claim, because you need to be in the right place and you need to be in the will of God and you need to be obedient to the word of God. Then only this promise come. Otherwise, why do you think he took the Israelites for 70 years in exile? Because they were not listening to him. They were not walking with him. It's a very good promise for those who really, really understand and be obedient to the word of God. Hallelujah. So this promise that I was thinking, everybody, most of us, we know and we claim it. But this is the promise to bring those people who are in exile from darkness to light. If we are facing a battle, if we are going through something today and we are saying that we don't know the way out from here, we don't know how we're going to come. Karen was talking about a blessing in thousandfold. She was talking on the 31st in Sri Lanka, that promise that she was saying, and then everybody was like opening mouth, maybe, you know, double portion, okay, seven times, okay, but not thousandfold. You know, it's very hard to believe. But if we don't believe, we don't get it. We believe we can get it. We've been praying for the school building because the whole roof was coming down. And Karen was talking about it on the 31st. The next week, we saw some people came and they showed some interest and they said they're going to build a school for us. And I think that is thousandfold of blessing. You know, like we're simply saying it, but if we trust what God is saying in his word, he is able to bless us. There's many things we don't even understand how we get it, but he just keep on blessing. If you have three meals, I think that's a great blessing. If you have current, I think that's a great blessing. When you put a switch on, you know for sure the current comes. When we put the switch on, sometimes the scorpions will run and jump on you. And the other thing is the lights won't work. You can have bulbs, but it won't work because there's no current. Because like last week we were there, it was like so hot and 2 days, 3 days they cut the current and it's not very easy life. And then you have to go and smile and tell people, you know, God bless you or whatever. But it's very hard when you're sweating and hot and mosquitoes biting you and all sorts of rubbish, you know, hanging on the roof and want to come into your house and all sorts of things. But still we smile because inside something there that has given me hope to live. It's only temporary, this current cut. It will come. The same way God is speaking to us. Everything that we are going through is temporary. We have a mention there. That is the only hope that, you know, every time when I go through battle, I think, never mind, you know, what I don't have here, but I have there a great mention that God has given. That is where we are going. When someone dies, I think, oh God, you know, what a blessing. When am I coming there? You know, there should be a way. There should be a way to get there. I know many people don't look forward for dying. But I always say, God, you know, whenever you are ready to call me, I am ready. But he says, well, I have too many of you up here. You'll be down there. So there's some work to finish. So until you finish that, I cannot have you there. So that's why I gave you life. Even the doctor said you won't live. I gave you life so that you can be useful and you can be a tree, give fruits so the others can benefit. That is all about Christianity. You know, always for somebody. You're not living for you. You're living for God in a way that God's heart and living for somebody. Because for me, that I had somebody coming from Switzerland recently and they said, you know, every time we take an offering or sometime you come and talk about something or somebody, I always thought, okay, they're asking for offering for some people. Oh, are they always having this problem? Why do we have to give money? And all that they were thinking, but they came to Jaffna and they were with us going around and we went to like one of the house and then they saw the situation, this lady and this father, somebody knocked him down on the road and he felt unconscious, took him to the hospital. The hospital gave him some treatment and they said, oh, he's too old, it's okay, take him home. They don't want to treat him. He brought him home and she was feeding through the nose and, you know, we were praying for him and actually he survived and he's sitting on a wheelchair now. But those things that they saw by the eyes and say, like, you know, everything, like last week we went to visit a family, then they said, the father of the house is ran away with another woman. Four children left and they're studying and the wife, she has no job. What do we do? So what do you do really in a situation like that? Okay, Jesus will bless you. Don't worry. You give what you have. Immediately I came home, I gave them 5,000 rupees, that's about 25 pounds, to buy some grocery to send them. Because I know they have 2 days they didn't eat. So they didn't ask for money, but then I have to do something because I have Christ in me. So for me, I have 3 meals. Even if I cut down 1 meal, it won't harm me. I won't die. Because you look at me, I'm a strong person. I got so much fat in me, which I can survive for next 2 years without food. But for them, they needed something, you know, to be fed. They need something for the children. And even the last child, he was like 4 or 4.5 years. And the other one is really sick and all sorts of things. So when they saw this, they said, well, we want to say sorry to you, and in the public, in the pulpit, they said. And I didn't even know they were thinking like that. They said, we want to really apologize to you sometime when we are living abroad. We don't see these things. We just only see ourselves and our homes and our neighbors. That's it. Sometimes we don't even see neighbors. We don't even know who the neighbors are. But there you have to mind everybody's business because everybody back to our house, you know, I always say to the security guard, don't allow anybody without asking me. But this doesn't work there. It doesn't work. They will come in and they will sit. When you're coming from somewhere, they are sitting there with their problem and with all those things that they are going through. They want to give it to us. So, well, when you really ask the problem that they are having, so you cannot just go and say, well, you know, it's okay, go home. No, you have to see what is the need and maybe you need to feed them or give them some clothes. Karen has a second-hand clothes shop. It's called DP Stores, Dust Project. So we send people there and she doesn't know. I pay for them anyway. We send people there to get clothes, okay, give them the size and get clothes because it's cheaper. Because if you buy in town, you have to pay like 50 pounds. Here you can pay 5 pounds and get foreign clothes, second-hand, but foreign clothes. And we feed, we give them clothes and whatever we needed to do for 2 or 3 days. So these things, when these people saw, they said, this is what you are doing. You know, we thought just you have a church and that's all you are. No, we are working with the community. We are working with people who are lost and have no hope. And even Karen went into some of the DA's office, asked her to come and see one of the family that they need a toilet, they needed a house and these children. And Karen went and talked to that family. They are not Christian. And she went and talked and she put this application to some project and they said, okay, we will build them a toilet, we will build them a house. So I went to them, I went to that house and I was talking to these children and one of this child, he was wearing like a blue shorts and I told the mother, why doesn't he change? He came from school, ask him to change. And he went in and he didn't change. And again, I told the mother, ask him to change the shorts, pair of shorts that he's wearing, a blue one, it's a school one. And they didn't say anything. Afterwards, he had towel around him. And then the shorts that was drying on the line. I said, why has he got a towel? Why doesn't he wear another pair of shorts? He said, he doesn't have one. Only one he has. That's for the school or for the home. So then I thought, you know, how much we misinterpret. We don't really understand. So when I saw that situation, they are desperate for help. You know, like the wife of that family, she goes far away because there's no toilet in the bush. Even children, the girls, it's not very safe for them. So when I saw that, these are the things that God has asked us to do, to meet these people, talk to those people, meet their need. Sometimes, you know, he will not ask me for account for China or Russia or something. I'm sure he will ask for my own nation. So I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. God has called us with responsibility that, you know, have a heart of God. Sometimes when we don't have a heart of God, we only think about what we need. But when we have a heart of God that we can look into people's situation, which way we can help. Even we were coming here, I was telling Karen and we are praying and really working on it. This young man is about 30 years or 32 years old and his kidneys and he's having problem. And now yesterday he sent me a message and said the doctors have given only 3 months. And we have to reach that amount, like 5,000 pounds, to give him so that they can do this kidney transplant or whatever. So like when we were coming, that was my prayer, how I can help him so that if I help him, obviously God has to help. If I help him, he can help his family. He has a small son and wife, and that they are living with hope in God. In a way, this situation is hopeless, so that we are there to give them hope. We are there. At least I am there. Even this morning, I recorded a prayer in Viber and sent it to him. Hold on, dear, because God will not, you know, forsake you. Trust in God, and I send him a prayer so that he can listen to that prayer and get his faith built. Like this, praying and sending prayers to all over the place. And Brian knows that all the time I am sending prayers and receiving sometime emergency. And that's why he was saying the other day that I have this 24 hours prayer, like for 12 lines prayers that people are praying from all over. Then another 4 lines, that's a confidential prayer that for emergency or some family problem, something like that. So these things, so I am so busy, it's easy to ignore God. And easy to be busy with all these things happening, the ministry, but then I lose heaven. This is not worth it. That's why it's important. Every one of us have that connection. Just, you know, that encounter. Maybe middle of the night, God has to wake you up to, you know, what about, you know, me? You forgot me. But, you know, you're doing everything else. But, you see, he speaks to us in a very small voice, how he's spoken to Elisha, or how he was leading Elijah, men of God, women of God, as long as we can be connected to him. Because we are here to give the hope to the nation. That is what God has called us. There's a greater purpose. That's what we are. I know the plans I have for you. This is not for you, evil, but to give you hope and future. Hallelujah. So that, believe in that. Believe in that scripture, because it's not just for Israel people, and we are Israelites as well. We are the children of Abraham. It's for us as well. For us, like if you're here, like even at the worship time that God showed me, there are people here that feel like going through tunnel, that you cannot see the light, but God show me that light is there, and he will bring you out from the situation, that struggle that you are going through. Hallelujah. Okay. Because the promise la sonna vidhama nambikkaya irunga devan nichayama ungala and tunnel kuda veliya kondu varuvar adu mathra neenga poraadra karyangala devan cheyam tharvan endu solli irukkar avanude andha vaathai dhaan naan paindu kondirukken. That's what that I've been speaking, that God has spoken, and for us just to trust and receive. There's many scriptures. Sometime I'll be looking at it, the promises, and claiming it for me, and sometime when I read it again, there is a different, deeper meaning. All the time, Holy Spirit just lead you and to make you understand the word with power. The word has power. Not only just speaking the word, also just believing and trusting and acting on it, and you will see the answers. Many times, you know what the word of God says, that you will do even greater things than this. And we need to be believing. Like when we have a television station from France that is from satellite from Israel, and when we are speaking in the, on the television, thousands and thousands and thousands of people are listening. You see, we are doing greater things than even Jesus. Because Jesus, when he was speaking, maybe 10,000 or 5,000, 15,000, well, he didn't have any microphone or speaker or anything. That's a miracle, because we can't speak more than 400 people, can we? But somehow he was speaking and communicating and really teaching them. But now when we speak, sometimes the whole world is listening. Greater thing that God is doing through us. Hallelujah. But still we keep the relationship with him. It doesn't matter what happens around us. Don't let anything misinterpret or pull us down. Just keep on going in that calling that he has called. Just keep on walking in the steps that he had put before us. And keep on trusting in him. Even though everything looks like it's going to collapse, still trusting him. So if we collapse, so what? You go to heaven. It's a good news. So we don't have to have any fear about anything, because the hope that he has given us, when we were in exile, when we were in the world, when we didn't know Jesus, there's no hope. We don't know whatever happened. Yes, you know, we live for the day and eat for the day. But now we have such a hope. We know that we have eternal life, because the thief comes to steal and kill, to destroy. But he has given us the eternal life so that we can be living. Hallelujah. What happened to our bodies doesn't matter. It, you know, it It's no point counting that because his body is good. We have shower and put perfume and it's good for today and tomorrow maybe another day it's gone. It's, you know, we just, because we have a body we can communicate, but the body is useless. But the spirit inside of us, that has the hope. That is what is running our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow our head. Just close our eyes. Spirit of God, we thank you for your power and for your calling and for the promise that you have given, Father God. I pray for my sisters and brothers who are here that they have hope in you for sure. But still I pray that you store their faith up right now, Father God. Stir them up, Father. It doesn't matter what situation they are facing, that they know they have a hope and that you have given them, Father God, to lead them and to guide them. Power of God, that every one of us here, that we count ourselves as a tree planted, Father God, deep down with your knowledge and your wisdom and your river of the Holy Spirit. So I pray for every one of them here. Even I pray for myself, Father God, we live by your word. Father God, like how Jesus overcame the enemy in the wilderness by the word of God, so that we understand every single day, feed ourselves with your word. Feed ourselves, Father God, or drink the Holy Spirit every single day, but renewed by, Father God, your word of God, Father. Holy Spirit can remind us of what we read, Father, that the word has power and life. Father God, you are our life. Thank you, Jesus. Nandri Anavare, just give ourselves, just praising him from our heart and give ourselves. If you have a music or something, you have some music there to put it, some music. Thank you, Lord. I just ask you're giving yourself, I just say something in Tamil for our parents there. The Nerathra, you oppukodunga, neenga enna samayam karyam illa. Yesu Christ ungalukkai marichirukkar, ungalukkai ratham sindirukkar. Indha naal neengal viswasikkum bodhu ungala pulligalin 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 balanai neenga kaanbinga. Aanula viswasam irunga. Appa ungala sarathil irukkar vyadhi devan kunamaakven endru sollukkar. Indha naalum kuda indha sarathai thoduvadhai naan அம்மா நீங்களும் கொண்டு வாழ்நாளிலே 16 வயதில் எனக்கு காண்பிக்கிறார். God is showing me that your mom, when she was 16 years old, the pain that she went through, she lost everything. She was just like an orphan. I can see that. God is showing me. அந்த இடத்துல ஒரு அனாதையை போல அநேக அந்த நம்பிக்கை இழந்தவாய் உன்னோட தாயார் இருக்கிற தேவன் காண்பிக்கிறார். எத்தனையோ கண்ணீர்கள், எத்தனையோ போராடத்து கூட போனீங்க, ஆனா தேவன் இந்த நாட்களை உங்களை ஆசீர்வதிக்கிறேன்னு சொல்றார். ஆசீர்வதிக்கிறேன்னு சொல்றார். அவரை விசுவாசிங்க, அவர் மட்டும்தான் உங்களுக்கு ஒரே வழியா இருக்கும். Jesus is the only way for you. That's what God is saying to them. Father God, I thank you, power of the Lord. As this music play, let the Spirit of God just touch us deep down. Lord, I pray you touch our hearts, touch our spirit, touch our mind. Even as we take communion together, Father God, let there be a new covenant with you. Nothing will take us away from your love, that we will be together, united with your love, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, Brother God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, power of the Holy Spirit. I really see there's a healing taking place in you, that God is the right teacher to you. Father, that you're a great Father. The Spirit of God, Father God, I praise you. I pray for your son and I pray for his physical body. I pray for your healing power to touch him, Lord. And God said that you have been, there's something to do with business and there's so many things that you've been doing and people were working under you or what. But God is saying that he's restoring that joy again. He's restoring that strength again because you are a giver. So God bless you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Also, I was praying for one of my sisters there and I really see that some name you stole me. I don't know, some Italian name or something. Tanya, is it? Yeah. Don't give up hope. This is what God is speaking to you again. Because God has brought you long, long way. And he will make you to walk in that promise. Just keep up that hope. Thank you, Father. Power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just can we put our hands in our hearts? Spirit of God, I pray right now, Father, including me. Lord, I pray there's an anointing of you from above. Just touching us right now. Thank you, Lord, for that hope that you have given us. Spirit of God, help us to walk in that hope. Even today, Father, count it as a new day in you. We got another 6 months to go. But we go through those promises that you have given us, Father, to be built in Jesus' name. We give ourselves right now in the name of Jesus. Father, touch every heart, every bodies, every minds. Spirit of God, we pray and receive your joy and your love. Thank you, Father God, for your strength. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father God, does you want to do the communion? No. Thank you, Lord. And my sister there also, I said, you are a carrier. You're a carrier of problems, other people's problems. And also that there is something in you so beautiful. God is showing me that your heart just keep it strong because God has healed you and nothing can harm your body again. And God is saying, just keep up that hope because he has called you to be a blessing. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.